out your Bibles. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And we're going to read one verse today out of Deuteronomy. And that verse that we're going to read is verse 20. Well, let's start at verse 20, so this kind of gives us a background, so I don't have to say the background. Actually, what's happening here is we're jumping right into the middle of a story in which God and Moses are having a talk, a conversation, the Lord and Moses, and he is talking to them about the Passover and some other things that he has commanded them to do, and he says, when your children come to you, and ask you some questions, this is the way you're supposed to answer. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, in verse 20, it says, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out with a mighty hand. Everybody say, the Lord brought us out. Are you happy that the Lord brought you out? Hallelujah. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all of his household. And verse 23, which is the one I want to focus on, says, and then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in. Okay, so God didn't just bring us out of a situation. I'm thankful that he did. How many say amen to that? You glad God brought you out of where you were? But God brought you out of there not just to release you and then say, hey, see you. Hope you have a good life. Hope you make it. Hope everything goes well for you. Now you're free. Eat, drink, and be well fed. And go your way. God brought you out with a vision in mind of a place that he is taking you to. God brought you out to take you somewhere. He's taking us somewhere. He has a vision for us, a dream for us, a plan for us. Everybody say, God has a place for me. God has a place for me. God brought me out with the thought that he was bringing me in to something. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm coming to you today with a word that's a little bit prophetic. And it carries within it a direction for your life. Now, every word that's truly a word from God is revelational. Every word that's from God is revelational. It will either bring something to you that you have never known before about your life and about your situation and about you and your family or whatever. It'll be something that will be brand new to you. Or it will be something that will be a word that already confirms what God has been saying to you. You will hear it. It will be revelation to you of saying, what I was hearing was truly from the Lord. It will confirm the word. So everybody say it'll be a new word or a confirming word. It'll confirm what God has already been saying to you. Okay? Now we already know that God's been saying some things to us as a church. And very simply, they're found in the three words, pursue, overtake, and recover it all. Everybody say pursue. God has been telling us to pursue things during this season. And we are in a season of pursuit. This is the direction that has been given to us by God in response to what has appeared to be a season of the enemy's attacks. How many of you say, I feel like I've gone through a season of the enemy's attacks? Well, God is giving us a direction as a church. He's giving you direction as an individual as to how he wants you to respond to this season of attack. And he has said, now is the time for you to pursue. It's not the time to sit down and cry. It's not the time to sit on your ashes. It's not the time to spit into self-pity. Now is the time to put on your armor and get ready to pursue the enemy. We're in a time of taking things back. Everybody say taking things back. We're in a time of taking things back. You're going to preach to me and to each other a little bit today. Okay, we're in the season of taking things back. And God said that if we will embrace that word and make it our own, he has given us two promises. First of all, he has told us that we will overtake. Everyone say overtake. If y'all got that slide that says has those three words on there, you can throw it up there. He said that we will overtake. And what does he mean when he's saying that, Pastor? What does that mean? He is telling us that we are to have faith that God can close the gaps between you and what you've lost, no matter how much time has passed since the loss. Some of you lost some things a long time ago. And the enemy, he just seems like he's gotten away with robbery in your life. But God is saying, if you will hear my voice, and you will put on your armor, and you will get ready to pursue the enemy, he is saying, I, in my power and ability, will cause you to overtake the things that have been lost. In my power, I have been able to hold them, protect them, keep them. Now, some of them may not look exactly the same on the outside, but the promise will be fulfilled. The promise. Everybody say the promise. The promise will be fulfilled. It will be recovered. And then the second part of the promise, the third part of the word is this, that if you will pursue, you will overtake, and you will recover it all. Everyone say recover it all. All is the biggest word in that thing. Man, all. All? Are you serious, God? All? Lord, maybe I need to sit down and tell you what I've lost. Maybe you and I aren't thinking the same. And God says, you don't have to waste your time explaining to me what you've lost. I have an account of everything that the enemy has taken from you. And he said, if you will choose to pursue, I will cause you in a supernatural way to be able to overtake. And he said, in your overtaking and in your battle, in this battle, you will recover all that the enemy has stolen from you. You'll recover it all. Now that word, when that word first came to me, that word, it staggered me. I thought, can you be serious, all? And the Lord challenged me. And he said, Parky, when I say a word, I mean a word. He said, I'm not the kind that just throws words around. I'm very careful with the selection of what I say. And when I say all, I'm saying that this is the time where I want my people to experience the recovery of all of the things that I had for their forefathers that the enemy stole, as well as for new wells that I am digging that the enemy, for them, that the enemy was able to come in and somehow stop those wells up. He said, I am saying all of those promises, all of those things. Praise God. Now some of those things are relationships. Some of them are possessions. Some of them are promises. Some of those are callings. Some of those things are ministries. But God is saying to us as a church that this is the word that he has for us. Now, within the greater framework of a word from God always lies step-by-step direction. God will give you an overall view of what he's doing, but within that, there are always steps that we have to take. Now, I went to a conference this week, and while I was there, I felt that God gave me a direction to pass on to you that is the key to you recovering it all. Okay? And here's the direction that I felt like he told me to come to you with. There are many people in the world who do not believe that places matter. Everybody say places. People don't believe. There's a lot of people, especially Christians, that don't believe that places matter. Many Christians believe that since God is with them wherever they go, Pastor Bob, that places are not as important as presence. Now, I'm not here to dispute the biblical truth of the ever-present Spirit of the Lord. That's not in the life of the believer. I'm not disputing that at all. But I am here to remind you of something. And that is that God uses places as platforms of his word in his people's lives. He uses places. You heard Pastor Bob, when we took communion one day, say, it's not just important to be under the blood, but it's important to be in where? In the house, in your place. Everybody say in your place. It's important to be under the blood and in the place that God has told you to be. You know, humans are creatures of space and time. We live and occupy a place in this world. When God blesses his people, he blesses them in a certain place, in a certain space. When was the last time you had an experience with God? Anybody in here say, or last time you heard God speak to you, or you heard God give you a promise, or you heard God say something to you? How many of you? I'm asking a question. How many of you remember the last time you had an experience with God? You experienced God in a certain place and time. He spoke to you at a certain place and time. The time that he spoke to you, the way that he spoke to you, the place that he's talking to you about is all important to him. He spoke to you in a time and space. He didn't speak to you as some type of ethereal, floating, non-entity. People are not floating around the world as unconnected bits of metaphysical matter. As I look out at you guys, you're all occupying a space and a place. I don't see anybody floating through the air right now. People don't just disappear in a time and place and reappear in another. We are all settled in a place. Now stay with me for just a second. And everyone has a place in life. Everyone has a place in the body of Christ. Isn't that what he said in the scripture? We're not all in the same place. We're all part of the same body, hallelujah. But we occupy different places within that body. We're people of time and space, or you could say time and place. And God uses places to bless and teach his people. Look at your neighbor and say, God's looking for a place to manifest his glory. Isn't that true? Isn't God looking for a place to manifest his glory? Why? Because people exist in places. And God is looking for a people through whom he can manifest his glory. Now, most people nowadays, and I want you to hear me on this, they prize opportunity over place. Most people nowadays prize opportunity over place. In other words, if what appears to be a great opportunity for them materializes in their life, many will choose opportunity, that opportunity, over a place that God may have spoken to them about. They take the opportunity. They choose the opportunity over place. In Genesis chapter 12 and 13, we see God directing Abraham to a place that he would bless him. A place that would be used as a foundation for God's work in him. When Abraham arrived at that place, the place was in a famine. The men are studying that right now. He got to a place that was in a famine, and God said, this is the land that I am giving to you and to your descendants from now on. Well, how much opportunity for advancement exists in famine? How much opportunity for success exists in famine? But God told him, he said, this is the place. Everybody say, this is the place. This is the place that I am giving to you. Now later, Abraham and Lot move up out of the south and move back into the land of Canaan, and they're moving northward again. And Abraham looks at Lot, it's Abram at this time, he looks at Lot, and he says, we've got too much stuff. The land cannot support us. But the main problem was there was wrangling and arguing and dissension among the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham. And Abraham said, let not there be dissension among us. He said, let us separate. And he told him, he said, if you go to the right, I will go to the left. If you choose the left, I will go to the right. How did Lot make his decision? Lot lifted up his eyes, he looked out to the plain of the Jordan, and he saw that it was full of opportunity. Somebody's got a, a place you're looking at right now that looks like it's full of opportunity. And Lot, instead of asking God where he should be, he decided to choose based upon opportunity. The opportunities looked really good around Sodom and Gomorrah. But the opportunity Lot chose placed him in a place of judgment. It looked good in the natural, but in the spirit, it was not a good place. Everybody say this. God chooses a place. Who chooses the place? And then he uses the place. Everybody say, God chooses a place. And then he uses the place. Praise God. So now everybody, you want to preach a little bit this morning, look at your name. And say, get in your place. Get in your place. Get in your place. And that's the word from the Lord this morning. It's a word within the framework of pursue, overtake, or cover it all. Get in your place. Because God's wanting to bless you. God's wanting to get you positioned where you can begin your recovery. And it's time to get into place. If you go by feelings or what the landscape looks like, you're going to make spiritual decisions using soulish and fleshly markers. God's place of blessing to Abraham was in famine when he arrived. As I said, Lot's opportunity was flourishing when he arrived. But you've got to make choices based upon God's decision and direction and not upon opportunity. In Genesis 28, Isaac called his son Jacob to him, and he charged him not to take a wife from the women of Canaan. And I'm going to preach a second word next week about this place thing. If God allows me, your companions that go with you are important. Who is with you in the journey is important. As you go to the place, you're in the place God tells you to go to as you travel to that place. And Isaac called Jacob and said, I don't want you to take a wife from the women of Canaan. So Jacob went on a journey to his mother's relatives to find a wife among the women there. And according to verse 10 of Genesis 28, while Jacob was on the way to where his father had told him to go, he arrived at what the Bible calls a certain place. And he stayed all night there. There was nothing outstanding or spectacular to Jacob about the place that he spent the night. There was nothing out of the ordinary about it in Jacob's eyes and his vision and his natural vision. Stay with me for a second. But as Jacob slept, God opened his eyes. And God gave him a revelation in a dream about the place that he was. And in that dream, he saw a stairway going from heaven to the place he was. And he saw angels ascending and descending upon that place. And he couldn't see that in the natural. It took revelation. It took supernatural empowerment for him to be able to know this. And he saw angels descending and ascending. And he saw the Lord standing at the top of the steps. And the Lord spoke to him and told Jacob that the place where he was important. It was a place of inheritance for him. It was important to his future and the future of his descendants. Now, what if Jacob didn't like the place that God pointed out? What if he just got up and said, there's nothing spectacular about this place. It's just a certain place. God will be with me and wherever I go. He'll bless me wherever I'm at. Well, let me ask you a question. Seriously, let's think about this. Would God change his plan based upon Jacob's preference? Okay, let me ask you that again. Would God change his plan based upon Jacob's preference? No. The answer is no. In verse 16, we see Jacob awakening and saying of the revelation, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place? He said, this is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. It takes revelation to know your place. And let me just add something else to this, right? For just a second. You don't want to be in the wrong place. Because as believers, we can get in the wrong place for a season or an hour in our life. Remember what God said to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 19. Elijah was going the wrong direction. Man of God had just come off Mount Carmel. Great victory. Power of God moved mightily. Shaker of the nation of Israel. Shook it to its knees. And Elijah's heading in a certain direction. He's being driven by preferences and feelings and fears and hurts and wounds, loneliness. And he moves in a certain direction. And God speaks to him and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? This is not where I want you to be. I have a place I want you to go. And in that place where you are, I'm going to use you. In that place that I'm sending you to, I'm going to restore to Israel. I'm going to draw Israel back to myself. I'm going to use you. Everyone say, there's power in my place. There's power in my place. So, to wrap this up, what time is it? It's time to get in to your place. This is part of the pursuit. You say, well, how am I to pursue? Many of you have said, how am I to pursue? I'm telling you. Right now, I'm giving you the first step. I just answered the question. I didn't, God did. He gave me this word. This is not my word. And he said the first step of you pursuing, if you're confused, is ask me where you are supposed to be. Where in this? Where in the body of Christ? Where in the church? Where are you supposed to be? He said, get in your place. And many of you, God's already been speaking to you. And this is just a confirming word. And I knew that before I came out. There's a lot of you that have already begun to take these steps because God's been speaking to you and you say, this confirms exactly what I felt like I was hearing. But this is also a word to other people who have heard this word given over the last few months, Pastor Bob, and have wondered, what exactly am I supposed to do? And the Bible, God is saying to you, get into your place. Well, Pastor, can you tell me where my place is? No. I am not going to carry all of your responsibility. My job is to teach you to seek God. Seek God, not seek parking. The Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, they griped Moses, and they asked him. Even when, I may read this scripture next week, but even when they were griping and complaining along the way, God heard them griping and complaining. Instead of them repenting to God, they went to Moses and they said, Moses, do something about this. If I would have been Moses, and Moses, bless his heart, such a good pastor. He prayed for the people and God stopped all the burning that was happening among them. Because, man, they were being consumed by fire. It was a revival, but not the kind you wanted. Burning, purifying the pure and burning the dross away. If I would have been Moses, I'd have said, go repent on your own. But I do understand we were under a different covenant. But brothers and sisters, you're all priests and kings of the Most High God. You're all prophets of the Most High. And it's time for you to go to Him. And ask him, Lord, where do you want? What do you want me to do? What was the first thing the Apostle Paul asked God, Jesus, when he had his revelation of Jesus, what am I going to do? What place? Where am I supposed to go? And the Lord told him, you get to this, you go to this place, and then further revelation will come. But if you're not in this place, you see how he led him to a place. And he says, when you get to this place, and you're in place, then further revelation will come. Some people are saying, it doesn't matter what church I go to. It doesn't matter what friends I have. It doesn't matter where I live. None of that stuff matters. God's with me wherever I go. And you know what? You know, some of us are so disconnected to everything. And God wants us to be people of connection. He has a specific place he wants us to use us in. Well, Pastor, I'll never forget what my pastor said, and I'm done. One time a lady came up to him in church, my former pastor, in Rockwall, and she said, I want to sing in the choir here in this church. And he said, well, have you joined this church? Have you put your feet down here? Has God spoken to you to be a part of this house? Have you fulfilled the covenantal process to become a part of the body here? And she said, no, I'm a part of the great universal body of Christ. He said, well, go find them and join their choir. And he said, well, that's a terrible thing for a pastor. So my first pastor said stuff like that to people all the time. Because we can get so weird that we're just weird. And weird people, God just doesn't use. They're just weird. They really are. I'm serious. And they think that everywhere they go, God anoints the land around them. They think that you being in their presence is just, you ought to just fall on your face and just shiver. I'm not a person of place. I'm a person who just flows. And if you're lucky, I'll receive the anointing. Receive the anointing for what? Just receive the higher anointing. Now you're like, what do I do with it? God's going to use you in place.
Amen.
In place and in time. I thank God he transcends all that, but he still works within it. He works outside of it and within it. But we operate here in time and place. And God uses his time and place to bless his people. So the first step that you need to ask God, here's the first thing. If you don't know this, ask God. What? Where do you want? What place am I to stand in? What ministry place am I to occupy? What church am I supposed to be a part of? What class am I supposed to get in? Am I supposed to go to school? What place am I supposed to be in? And get in. And you'll get further direction, and God will use that place to bless you. All right, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so very much for your word. Lord, I take no credit at all for anything. Lord, it's all of you. You are the only one that can bring revelation. So, Father, today I pray for everybody here in the body of Christ that they will hear you speaking to them about their place. What place am I supposed to be in? What place? How am I supposed to be aligned? And who am I supposed to be standing next to at this point in time? Who am I supposed to be connected to? What space am I to plant my feet in? Lord, I thank you that you're the leader of the sheep, you're the great shepherd, and you're speaking to us, giving us revelation. And I bind fear of making a mistake off of every pure, hearted believer who really all they want is to do the will of God. Trust the shepherd's crook.
trust the shepherd's crook. Everybody say, I trust the shepherd's crook. I trust the shepherd's staff. I trust that if my heart is open and pure, that if I do seem like I'm going to make the wrong decision, that he will gently, in his power and wisdom, redirect me. And I will end up exactly where I'm supposed to be. But Father, I make a choice today to say yes to the place. Because you're using the place as a platform for your glory. You want to manifest through me your glory. And so, Father, I have a place for that manifestation to happen. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 Praise God. Well, listen, we're going to end our service this morning by giving our tithes and our offerings. I want to thank all of you for being so faithful to the Lord. Here in just a second after we give, we're going to have a few announcements and then we'll release. Okay? Kind of keep you up to date about what God's doing here in the church. But just remember, God has set us free from fear as a people. So many of us are free in lots of areas, but we're not free in the area of monetary faith. We still live by so much fear. You know, just as much as God is your Savior, he is your provider and your Redeemer. If he's not one, then he's not another. And I didn't make that up out of the Word. He's the one that revealed himself as that. Some of you say, well, I don't see it in my checkbook yet. Well, some of us, there's so much of it. Some of it's in his bank account, only his bank account's big enough. He says, I will supply all your need according to my riches, where? In glory, in Christ Jesus. And the Lord told me, he said, I can download it into your account anytime you need it. Okay? And so you don't go by what you see in your bank account, you go by his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I'm not talking about bad stewardship at all. I'm not talking about foolish decisions, and I'm not talking about tempting God. But I am talking about believing God and trusting God, okay? And I am talking about honoring God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, honor the Lord with your wealth. Everybody say, honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all your increase. And then, the appropriate conditions are set up for your barns to be filled with plenty and your vats to overflow with new wine. So let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so very much for this day. We honor you and exalt you and praise you. You are just as much Jehovah Jireh as you are Jehovah Makedesh, Jehovah my righteousness, Jehovah my sanctifier, Jehovah my protector. You're Jehovah Jireh as well. So God, I make the transition to believe that. And I'm thankful that I can be a part of your work in the earth, not only just by using my energy, but also using finances. I thank you that finances are a tool in which I can use to bring about your work and glory in the earth. So, Father, I sow these things with full faith in your promises and your word. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen.